Good morning again, brothers and sisters. Brother Mark last week in his exhortation spoke a bit about the word gymnasium and how we as spiritual athletes are being trained and exercised by the word of God. And this morning I want to continue this sort of thing, but rather than looking at exercise and of like a spiritual athlete, I want us to consider the concept of walking, because that's something I'm more comfortable with. I'm not very good at exercise, but walking I can manage. And I want to look at walking in God's ways, because it's a very common theme in our scriptures. And in our own conversations and prayers, we will often refer to our spiritual lives as being a walk to God's kingdom. And we come in please to Galatians in chapter 5, because we know the words of this chapter very, very well. And often we will spend time considering things which relate to the fruit of the Spirit. However, the concept of walking also appears in this chapter too. The verb walk crops up in two verses. It's in verse 16 and verse 25, and it relates to walking in the Spirit. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The words we have translated here into English are actually two very different verbs in the Greek. In verse 16, the Greek verb is peripatio, and it means to walk all around. It means to deport oneself. It means to live fully. And this portrays to us that our whole way of life, everything we do must be in accordance with the ways of the Spirit. Our whole lives, our everyday living, should be directed by God's word, and our lives should demonstrate or manifest God's character and purpose. And in verse 25, the Greek verb there is stoicheo, and it means to march in rank, to keep in step, to walk orderly, and to conform. And here I think we have the idea of us walking as part of a unit, part of a team, keeping in step with one another. A unit that is following the commands and the orders of a commanding officer, and which does so with military precision. In this way, when we think about our walkers marching in rank and keeping in step, it should highlight to us that our spiritual walk is not a solitary one, but rather a walk that is taken in unison with other believers. If ours, or if any of our brothers and sisters' walk is out of step with the commands of our commander, and we know our commander is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the captain of our salvation, as we march along that route, if anybody's step is out of step with the commands of our commander, then it should be quite noticeable, just as if a soldier marches out of step on the parade ground. And Paul is obviously thinking here, when he uses this Greek verb stoicheo, of the Roman soldiers of his day. They would walk for miles in rank, keeping in step, following the orders that had been given to them. They didn't need to concern themselves about the details of the march ahead. They were to just follow their orders, follow their commanding officer or the centurion, and march along a route that they were told to do so, and to do so without questioning or murmuring. And here then, I think we see in these two verses and the use of two different Greek verbs what walking in the Spirit really is. Walking in the Spirit means we do so in all aspects of our lives. We deport ourselves appropriately. We carry ourselves appropriately. And we manifest God's character. We're walking in unison with other believers. we follow the commands of our commander, our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we keep to the way which has been set before us. We, brothers and sisters, as we know, have been commanded to follow the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2? I think there's so many verses in our Bibles that we know so well. You know where I'm going to go to. You know what the words say. There's a danger in that. Because so often, because we know words so well, we neglect to truly think what is being told to us and what is being asked of us. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. It's clear, isn't it? Jesus's perfect life is the example we have to all be trying to follow. Obviously, we're going to fail along the way. We're going to fall short, aren't we, of the standards that he has set. But his is the example that we've got to be trying to emulate each day. And especially today, when we come round these emblems which remind us of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection, we should all be asking ourselves the very searching question. Are we truly in step with Jesus? Are we walking in step with him? Meaning, are we endeavoring to walk orderly, to conform to his ways and standards? Yet when we think about it, how often do we end up conforming more to the ways and the ideals of the world around us? I know I do. And that is why in the scriptures there's so much exhortation about watching how we walk spiritually. It is exhortation and advice that we all so readily need. Because left to our own devices, we will not keep in step with our Lord Jesus's example. We will stray from the narrow path, the way which leads to God's kingdom. In the book of Proverbs, we have quite a few thoughts in the early chapters which expresses the writer's concern about believers watching their step and assessing their spiritual walk. Will you come with me, please, to the book of Proverbs, and we'll go in at chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 26. The writer, who was probably Solomon, says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Ponder the path of thy feet. We've been exhorted here to consider our walk and to consider the path we are taking. Let all thy paths be established. And it shows that the writer is concerned with the manner of our lives. Our lives have to be established on the ways of God. And in Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon warns his son not to be enticed by sinners or to be associated with them. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. He says to his son, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. In verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. The them in there is the wicked, the worldly people. His son has been told to watch how he is walking and where he is walking. Do not be taken in by the world's advances. Do not be taken in by the persuasive arguments. Do not be enticed by the thinking of the world. And in verse 20, the son is reminded that there is another voice waiting to be heard. Verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So here, really, in chapter 1 of Proverbs, we have this picture of two ways of thinking, two voices. The ways of thinking of the world, or the voice of spiritual wisdom. And the son has a choice, doesn't he? We have a choice. Which way will he take? Which voice will prevail? And how will that son, how will his son make that choice? In chapter 2, he's given a very good and clear reason to listen to wisdom. Chapter 2, verse 6. The son is told, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the ways of his saints. This wisdom, this knowledge should make the choice easier for the son. Surely there isn't a choice at all, is there? If the son selects the path for his feet to travel on, the path must be the one that is kept and preserved by God. Because we are told there, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler. He is a strength to them that walk uprightly. Also, we're told in Proverbs 3 that not only has God provided the path to follow, he is willing to direct our steps. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Again, words we know really, really well. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We know it, don't we? God is willing to lead us on the path. We know on that path, on our journey to the kingdom, we're never alone, however hard or difficult life might get, because God is there watching our walk, watching our progress. And he is ready to direct and guide our steps, but only if we allow him to. If we are listening to the enticing words of the world, if we're starting to stray to the edge of the path, it's so much more difficult for God to direct our steps. In Proverbs 4, verse 26, that we looked at earlier, we read, ponder the path of thy feet. We can compare this verse with some other verses that we find in Proverbs 5, and it's Proverbs 5, which deal with this idea of pondering. We're told here that the ways of man, in verse 21, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he, that's God, pondereth all his goings. So God is pondering, he is considering our walk before him. And this verse contrasts quite starkly with the words of verses 3 to 6, where we're told, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder that path of life. Her ways are not movable. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. That phrase, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, in the New King James Version is, lest you ponder her path of life. So we see that the exhortation to consider our spiritual walk and where we are walking is absolutely vital. On the one hand, we've got to select the right path for life, ensuring that we're walking in a manner which is acceptable to God, that we accept he is pondering all our goings, and that we submit to his guiding hand and allowing him and his wisdom to direct our paths. On the other hand, we've got to be very aware of the subtle and dangerous places that exist. We have to seriously ponder or consider her path of life. That is the thinking and the things of the world. And we are to consider and examine our walk in relation to the world. We should be asking ourselves the question very regularly, are we actually walking too closely to the world around us? Because if we're honest, we know at times we do. In Haggai, chapter 1, the prophet instructed his fellow believers to consider their ways. And that's because they had neglected the rebuilding of the temple and become wrapped up in the comfort and trappings of their own everyday life. And we too can consider our ways by considering where our spiritual walk has taken us recently. Where has it taken us recently in pursuit of the ways of the Lord? How often have we met in fellowship with our brothers and sisters? Or perhaps more importantly, how often have we neglected to meet in fellowship? How often do we have the opportunity to visit the sick and the lonely? How often do we have the opportunity to support a brother or sister who needs that care and love? And yet we do not do so. Instead, we electively choose to do something else instead. How much of our time is spent in praise, worship, and study? How much time have we dedicated serving our brothers and sisters and the things of our ecclesia? How often have others heard of the gospel message from our lips? Just where has our walk, our everyday life taken us during this past week, during the past month, during the past year? And where will our feet take us in the future if the Lord remains away? These are very searching questions. And I ask them to myself first and foremost. And as well as considering the activities and actions of our life in the Lord, we also need to be concerned with what type of people we actually are. Ephesians 5 gives us further exhortation on this point about the type of people we need to be. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That word circumspectly in verse 15 is translated in other versions as the word carefully. Walk carefully. Paul is saying then, don't be foolish. Be wise. Be careful. Consider your spiritual walk. And earlier in this chapter, Paul refers to our walk as and just how careful it should be. Verse 8, he says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And back in verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. We have to walk as children of light. We have to walk in love as Christ also has loved us. So therefore, to ponder the path of our feet and to consider our ways is rather more than just thinking of what we have done, where we have been, what we have not done. It's more than just planning where our feet will take us in the coming days. Our walk is concerned with the very manner of life we are living for our Lord. Whether our life is walking in love, whether it is a path which is illuminated by spiritual light, is it that the path that we are following? Because after all, if our Lord God ponders all our goings, and he is a God who looks on the heart, who searches the heart and understands all the imaginations of our thoughts, then that's got to be the starting point for our pondering, for our examination. So how can we tell if the path we are following and the way we are walking are governed by the same type of love that Christ has shown us? How can we be sure God's light is leading us along the path? Well, Paul, in this same chapter in Ephesians, gives practical examples. Verse 21, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So our life should be submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. They're words we know very well, aren't they? Basically, when I was younger, I had a very wise Sunday school teacher. And she said, Paul is saying, basically, to walk carefully, to walk circumspectly, in love, in the ecclesia, in our homes, in our workplace, and in life in general. Basically, bring everything we do under the guidance of God's wisdom and do all things unto him. And I believe the psalmist in Psalm 37 puts it in a very succinct way. Psalm 37 and verse 23. It's a beautiful psalm of David, and he says in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered or established by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Here is the challenge for each one of us, brothers and sisters. Our walk, every step we take in our spiritual lives, every action we do, every thought and motive we have, should be established on God's ways and God's nature. Because it says the steps of a good man are ordered or established by the Lord. That is why we have to ponder the path of our feet. We have to do it to ensure that our motives, things we are trying to do, are in tune with God's ways, and that we are in step with the example of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to the book of Proverbs, because here we also get advice on watching our walk in the world around us. I really like the book of Proverbs. There's so many beautiful verses and very, very practical things. But there's also beautiful themes that run through the book. So Proverbs 6 and verse 27. Because after all, we all have to live in the world, don't we? But we need to endeavour not to become part of the world. And in chapter 6 here of Proverbs, we have some important and very valuable words. Verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? We're being warned here, aren't we? Not to court danger. For if we do, we will be inviting trouble. And as we've already said, the ways of the world are subtle. And sometimes we think the world doesn't hold too much danger for us, that we are strong, that we can cope with the ways and the people of this life. We can basically not see the hot coals which can burn our feet. And therefore, we're not aware of keeping our spiritual walk in check. And this is a very real danger for all of us, brothers and sisters. Therefore, we shouldn't be seeing how close we can become involved in the ways and the things of the world without trouble arising. Rather, we should be monitoring our walk, making sure we stick to the center of the path. We move as far away as we can from the things of the world. And if we are aware that our walk is deviating towards the edge of the path, then at that point in time, we have to take action to redirect our steps. We need to be ensuring all our time, all our energy, come under the influence of God's wisdom. They come under the influence of God's love, and that we are allowing him to direct our path. Because we've got to remember, it's a sad but true fact. We can't cope with this world on our own, because our own human natures are too much like the world. Relying on our own wisdom and strength will leave us incapable of dealing with the wiles of the devil. And that's why in Proverbs and other parts of the scriptures, we're told not to lean onto our own understanding, and that all our paths should be established in the Lord. At the beginning of this exhortation, we consider what Paul was implying when he instructs believers to walk in the Spirit. Hopefully we've seen it's living a life which is in tune with God's ways. A life that keeps in step with our Saviour's example. And to close our thoughts, I'd like us to turn to Jesus' commands to all who want to be a disciple of his. Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Our Lord Jesus Christ denied his own mortal way of thinking, and in love for his heavenly Father, he took up his cross. He submitted himself, didn't he, to his Father's will. And his was a life which was totally in step with God's will. His was a walk that ultimately led to the cross at Golgotha. A walk which was not easy. And I don't think we can ever appreciate how hard it was for him. It was not easy, but it was possible with God's strength and guidance. And his was a walk of total self-sacrifice. And therefore we do now, as we partake of these emblems of bread and wine, have to compare ourselves with our Saviour and to compare how we are faring in our own walks. Are we denying ourselves? Are we daily taking up the cross of the Lord and carrying it? Are we following him? Are we following the path he has set before us? And as we share together these simple emblems of bread and wine, we once more have the opportunity, don't we, to consider our ways and to seek forgiveness for those sins which so easily beset us. The love that we remember now in these emblems can also strengthen us. It can encourage us. God loves and cares for us so much that he provided his only son for us so that we might have a hope of salvation. And he wants us to walk faithfully. He wants to give us the gift of eternal life in his glorious kingdom. He is there to direct our paths. He is there to strengthen us. He's there to correct us if we allow him to. We just have to strive to develop a sincere nature and to have the understanding of God's mercy that faithful men of old had, like Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah says this about spiritual walking and the need for God's mercy in Jeremiah 10. He states these beautiful words. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. And we all need God's correction, don't we, brothers and sisters? We all need his mercy. And indeed, what a privilege it is for us to have been called to the knowledge of God's saving truth. And what a great responsibility we all have to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And so it's with sincere and thankful hearts we now remember God's unlimited grace and mercy to us. And may we all have the faith and the humility to allow God to guide our steps and to ask God for forgiveness and strength when we deviate from the path.